After a brief interlude, let us now move back into our base ministry. Take your document. Everyone repeat after me. Scripture comprehension. Measures. The matrix. I want you to turn to Romans, Elder Nickerson is our designated reader this morning. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. In the document, we're going to page 9 this morning. Romans 8, chapter 8. Very, very, very informative chapter. It has several contexts in it. I would say that one could go to Romans 8 and probably stay in there 6 months or more. Just in that one chapter. As I said, it has several contexts. The first thing it lets you know is that you're safe. Tell us there is no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Period. Second part that the King James has in there, it is not in the critical text. And actually, that second part belongs down around the fourth verse. They transport it up into the first verse because to just make a blanket statement that there is no condemnation to you, it was too much. Destroys synergism. It completely destroys synergism. What is synergism? Synergism is the teaching that we partner with God to get this thing done. And God needs our cooperation and our help. And there's a part that we play in making this thing happen. In this eighth chapter, Paul speaks also about the carnal mind of the worldly mind and how it is in opposition to God. That no flesh can please God. Oh my God, I wish that God's people would focus on that. You cannot, no flesh can please God. You can't please God in the flesh. And it goes on to teach us the difference between physicality and spirituality. And who you are in Christ is the real deal. Who you are in these bodies are temporary. In Christ, you are the heir of God. You're the son of God. You're heir of that which belongs to Christ. In these bodies, you're in manifested mode of testimony for God's purpose. In these bodies, we're temporal. In him we are eternal. Eternal is the real deal. Temporality is that which is like a vapor and it just fades away. But then it lets us know so that we'll understand, because this morning we're going to be talking about the functionality that is in the matrix, why things are in there. That all is worthless. King James said vanity. That Greek word means worthless. Worthless. All is worthless. It is worthless in the matrix, in the physical sphere, because God subjected the physical sphere to worthlessness. The creation itself. Then he tells us that he did it in hope. So our hope is an eternal hope. Hope is never in the things that we see, we taste, we touch, we physically connect with. There's no hope there. It wasn't designed for hope. And that the whole creation is groaning in pain, and but it's now is moving toward, time is winding up. And one day we're out of here. Amen. We're out of here.
Amen.
Also tells us that we don't know what to pray for. And the Spirit makes intercessions. And that's the only time that Greek word intercession is really translated correctly. You go to Timothy, that Greek word means alignment. It does not mean intercession. You can't intercede for anybody. How are you going to intercede for someone else if you can't intercede for yourself? Then he moves on down in the 35th verse. And he makes some statements there. And I'm just going through, because if I stop on any one of these, I probably won't get where we really want to focus on this. And ask the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And that's the bottom line. Shall tribulation, other stresses, of persecutions, of famines, of nakedness, of peril, of sword. These are all of the things that frighten most of us.
Come on, bring it out. Yeah.
Make us feel insecure. But as we get through this, we move through this, it becomes obvious what the benefits of salvation are. Salvation means delivered and saved. Saved means it's safe.
Thank God. Yes.
If you're not safe, then you're not saved. No use to telling people, I'm saved, and there you pulling your hair out. God's people basket cases this morning.
I hear you.
Now, he didn't say that the stresses wouldn't come and tribulations wouldn't come and persecutions would come and famine would come and nakedness would come. He said it wouldn't separate you from the love of God. That's the bottom line.
Bottom line.
Oh, I know we're sitting in congregations where they tell us five ways how to get out of something. Here our gospel is telling us that he was living righteously, that is, in the sphere of God's righteousness, that you're going to suffer. That these things are here. But they're here for a purpose.
Yeah.
have agendas.
Come on with it. Make it plain.
Which are really imaginary itineraries.
Yes.
God has the agenda.
Yes.
Now, as he writes this, Paul is going through some things. So he's not a novice here. He's not, you know, some people get up and I look at some of the prosperity preachers, they're telling people how to have faith and go through, and they're in clover. It's the people that, you know. But here's someone who had gone through. He knew what he was talking about because Paul said, I've been there and I am there.
Amen.
One occasion he said, we hunger and thirsted us all. Then also he said, we're perplexed, but we're not destroyed. He goes through a litany, and every time he speaks of something naked, he speaks of that which overpowers it. If we're not going to believe what's in here, let's just tear these pages out, go on out there with the rest of the world, and go crazy.
I hear you.
If it's not true,
mm-hmm.
then I'm wasting your time. And you're wasting your time when you go into the word if it's not true. But thank God it's true.
I hear you.
In this verse 37, he said, but no, we're not just getting by.
All right.
We're more than conquerors. Does that mean that all your bills are going to be paid? No. That means you're never going to have any problems? No. But he speaks of the limitation of these things. They're all in the physical realm, in the physical sphere.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Elvin, start reading from the King James in verse 38. Call your scripture.
Verse 38, Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come.
Keep reading.
Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Now before we go into exegesis, let's go to the Greek interlinear. Now here at the Grace Gospel Church, we utilize the threefold method, and this is for those that are watching, of exegesis. That is, contextually, which we've done some, as we have brought into focus what we're focusing on. Historically, here we're talking about covenants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And part of the problem is many this morning are preaching from the Mosaic covenant.
Mm-hmm.
You're preaching out of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's confusing you because that is not to you. Pastor used to say, stop reading other folk mail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're further confused when we jump to what we call the New Testament.
Yes, we are.
Because we have amalgamated or blended all of the 27 books into one.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why some people say the Bible contradicts itself. The Bible does not contradict itself. There are seven dispensations, and each one of those dispensations has a covenant. When you get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, you are in the kingdom dispensation and the new covenant. Now, forget about how Christendom has arranged the scriptures. Paul writes church at Ephesus, at around the third chapter, and he says, or the fourth chapter, third or fourth, I think it's third. If you have heard of the dispensation of the economy that was given to me for you.
Yes.
That was not known in the previous ages. He writes to the church at Galatia. And he says, even if an angel from heaven comes preaching other than what I have preached to you, it is a curse to you. If he comes preaching more, it is a curse to you because you're Gentiles.
Amen.
If it's kingdom and you're embracing it face to face without any intervention of Israel, it is a curse to you because you're excluded.
Amen.
He writes to Timothy and he says, don't preach anything else.
Amen.
Don't preach any other gospel.
Amen.
What are you talking about, Paul? This dispensation is the grace dispensation.
Amen.
And in the grace dispensation, we have the grace covenant.
Amen.
Everybody said the grace dispensation,
the grace
and grace covenant.
And grace covenant.
Those entities are what we should focus on. The grace covenant. A contract is what pertains to you as a member of the body of Christ in the grace dispensation.
Amen.
So what I march on us, what I direct us, Romans through Hebrews. Now the whole Bible is true, but the whole Bible is not to you. It's for you to read. But it is not to you for directions. What is that aluminum you used to throw on the pork in the pork in your house, and you would throw it out? At the men fellowship breakfast yesterday, I think I saw you tearing up some bacon and sausage.
Oh, yeah,
oh, yeah. Oh, what a difference knowledge makes!
Oh.
Men of God's people been led into error and foolishness because you're reading from the wrong place.
I hear you.
There's somebody out there building an ark. He told who?
Noah.
He said to Abraham, he's not talking to you. He said to the children of Israel, I'm not talking to you. Now, as we look into these verses, we're reading from the Greek interlineal. Now, we do that because he has the Greek above and the English below, and if he deviates, he has to put some type of asterisk, some type of marking that lets you know he's gone off course.
Right.
He doesn't have the freedom of the translations
to editorize. Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But even then, we don't stop there.
Not there.
We will exegete.
That's right.
All right? Those of you who don't have the Greek interlineal, just follow along. It has some similarity, but just follow along. All right, Elder Reed.
So in the Greek text, 38th verse, for I have been persuaded.
Stop. For I have been persuaded. Here you have the Greek word prepisme. Prepisme. It is in, Brother Deacon, get your Greek lexicon out. You got it? What is that word?
Perfect indicative and the passive.
What is the perfect tense?
Completed action.
Action. Some people just, but they go crazy. When we stop to do this, some folks say, oh, you just follow along. Is this worth knowing? Would you rather just go along with what's there and then pick up a commentary? And by the way, Pastor used to beat me across the head. Bible study is not reading commentaries.
I hear you. I hear you.
You got to get into this thing and dig.
Amen.
Study to show thyself. An unashamed worker. That's what's approval to God. Rightly cutting it straight. That Greek word means to cut it straight. Some of you all that, I guess, you used to play cards. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Now they take the deck in. Cut it straight. That is, the perfect tense is a what? Again?
Completed action
with what?
Ongoing effect.
So it is in the past. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Paul is not just coming to the conclusion here. In fact, it goes all the way back to where?
Eternity.
Remember we were in Ephesians 3:18, and which speaks about those that comprehend, but those that God has pre-capacitated to comprehend. Everybody won't comprehend this. Doesn't mean that this one is saved and the other one's not.
No.
Just means that for his purpose, he
right.
causes some to comprehend this.
Right.
And Paul had comprehended it. Mm-hmm. And notice it's in the passive voice. What's the passive voice? That which is done. He didn't persuade himself. So I haven't been persuaded. What? Read.
That not death,
mm-hmm.
nor life,
mm-hmm.
nor angels,
mm-hmm.
nor rulers, nor
Stop. See that word there, ruler, that he's translated ruler. That Greek word there is archi. That is the same Greek word that John uses over in John chapter 1. When he speaks of the beginning. We won't stop because we don't have time. I won't get where we want to try to get today. But just as a note, go back. You don't have to be a Greek scholar. Just look at, put your finger on that Greek word, and then go back and put your finger on the other Greek word. It's the same Greek word, or it is some declension of that Greek word. It's the same word, which can be translated either ruler or beginning, depending upon the context. So now we have to draw to the context. Now here what we're doing, what we do here and what we have taught the ministry, as I was taught, you get up here and you do what?
Call
the text, which we have. What's the next thing we do?
Exegete
the text. Then what do you do?
Explicate.
Because you can't explain until you get the correct utterance.
Right.
If you get the wrong utterance, automatically you into the wrong explanation.
Absolutely.
And then after we explicate, what do we do?
Sit down.
Before the preparator takes over. We start in the book. We move to the book, and then when you have any inkling that you're going to leave the book, sit down. This is why some all kind of things are coming across the pulpit.
That's right.
I said to you that are watching, you follow this methodology, and you never go wrong. So that, context-wise, would be the beginning, because it is followed by what? Nor things what?
Nor rulers.
Beginning.
Nor things present.
Nor things coming.
Right.
So see, the beginning, things present, things to come. Everybody said, beginning. Things present.
Things present.
Things to come.
Things coming.
See the context there? That's why that word is more correctly, contextually wise, should be beginning. And what Paul is saying, that whatever's from the beginning, whatever's going on now, whatever things to come, he is grouping them all into the category of what he's getting ready to say about them.
Hallelujah.
Read.
Nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature.
Now see, here he runs out of litmus.
All right.
And that is really translated, nor any other created. In other words, if I forgot something, if there's something else, it's in the same category. And this is so important, because we're into 212, and you're going to see a lot of things that you haven't seen.
Amen.
I'm not trying to scare anyone.
Amen.
But you need this, because you're going to see some things that you've never seen before. Read.
Other will be able us to separate from the love of God.
Stop. Here we have the Greek verb thinister. And it is annexed to the word korea. The niste is what, Brother Deacon? It is a future indicative. What's the indicative mood?
Fact.
It's a fact. So what he's saying here is a fact. Of course, we know what the future is. But then, in manifestation, that doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, how do you get a future fact?
A future fact.
Right. Mostly, if we don't count a thing being a fact until it gets here, until I can see it.
Right.
Someone comes and tells me, you're going to have $1 million. That's not a future fact. That's a future wish. That's in the opposite move. That's a prayer. This is a fact. The future fact is that which God has said. It is tied to the decree. He could say this because God has said it. And if God has said it, it already exists.
Amen.
Even if you don't see it.
Amen.
Even if you never see it. It exists.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank God.
Now here it is annexed to the word kopisa. What is that, Brother Deacon?
Aorist infinitive.
What's an infinitive?
Verb noun.
What is the aorist tense?
It's completed, done.
Now, what do we do with infinitive in the English?
Mm-hmm.
Is we put two in front of it.
Right.
It's a verb, and we put two in front of it. But as soon as we put two in front of it, it gives the inference of the future. to do, to say, to go. And this is why we go to the Greek.
True.
What's the aorist tense?
Completed action.
So the best way we could put this in English is to say, and the, that Greek word there is translated what, Brother Deacon? Separate.
Separate.
To separate. But actually it said, to separate, having separated, but you got the negative particle inferred in there to let you know it can't happen.
Right.
It didn't happen in the past. It can't happen in the present.
Nope.
And it will not happen in the future.
No way.
Because
no way.
It's done.
It's already done. Thank God.
If it's complete, it's done.
Done.
Amen.
So nothing can separate you.
None.
The litany of these things cannot separate you. Now here's our problem. Here's our problem. This is our problem. We assess God based upon physicality.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Money in the bank.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Raise on the job.
Yep.
Healing of my body.
Yep.
These cylinders all clicking, God is good.
Mm-hmm.
God is dependable.
Mm-hmm.
God is great. I'm blessed. Now, the one who's writing this in another place, he gave his testimony. Here was a man who was shipwrecked. He said, night and the day in the deep. That means he's out there clinging to his life.
That's right.
Perils of water, perils of countrymen. The Jews, they feared and basically hated Paul. He was preaching and he goes into Antioch.
Preach it. Bring him home.
And didn't like what he was preaching. And they threw him outside of the city to the next city. And the ones that were in Antioch, they weren't satisfied that he was gone. They followed him to the next city.
Yeah.
They did not only want him preaching that in Antioch, they didn't want him preaching that anywhere.
Nowhere.
I hear you.
Nowhere.
And they followed him to the next city. When he got to the next city, they threw him out of there, and he ends up in Lystra, and then they tried to compromise him by telling him, Paul, you're great. And Paul said, oh, no, uh-uh. And then they stoned him.
Stoned him.
And left him for dead. So this is not a novice that's talking to us. One place, he said, I have the spirit of life. Here is one who before he knew Jesus, he had money. From the moment he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, it was all downhill.
Man.
He had money.
Amen.
He had his help. Paul was a young man, remember you?
Yeah,
prestige status.
Amen.
Paul was something.
Mm-hmm.
Until he met Jesus.
Amen.
You know what they teach us, you know, hey, if you serve the Lord, you get saved, everything's going to be all right, and you're going to do this and that, and then, you know, pay your tithe, and you go and you pay your tithe, and they say you get fired. Now you're confused.
Amen.
Amen.
Get into a prayer circle and everybody started praying and speaking in tongues and oh my gosh, you bound to feel good in that circle. You know, I've been in those circles. You feel good, don't you?
Man.
Then the next day, instead of you getting healed, it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're confused. Here's a man who went through this. And as he writes Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians,
mm-hmm.
Where's Paul?
He's in prison.
And here he's writing to the saints, and he's saying, rejoice. What, Paul, are you smoking something? What is that to rejoice about? Are you incarcerated? Well, Paul explained that thing. He said, I'm not a prisoner in the jail cell. I'm a prisoner of Christ.
Amen.
He wasn't rejoicing about being in prison. He was rejoicing about being a prisoner of Christ. Y'all listen this morning.
Thank God.
Some awesome things are going to come down in 2:12. And we're going to need this. Do not assess God based on your physical or secular condition. God good when you're hungry and broke. I know I've been there. Am there, minister. He's good when your pain is wrecking your body.
Amen.
He's good.
Because
it's not about things. God is not about things. Oh, the damage that has been done by the prosperity ministry. That God is a God of commodities. No. Here is a man who's in prison and they're plotting to kill him and then eventually did. And he wasn't worried about that. Well, he was smoking something. No, he wasn't. You look into the Word of God and it takes you beyond the physical things around you. So you're not ever focusing in the matrix. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All
right. Because there is a purpose for all that is happening.
Oh.
And what we are about is more than what's in the matrix.
Amen.
It's more than what you see.
Yeah.
When things come upon you, don't be saying, what is this but what?
What is this
what
for?
Is this for? God has a purpose for it.
Hallelujah.
It's placed there for purpose, for God's purpose. Our lives are not about us. Our lives are about Him. You know that scripture Paul writes in another place in Romans, and he says, basically, no one lives to himself, no one dies to himself. And they've taken that to say, well, you know, the poet said, no man's an island. That's not what Paul was saying. He was saying that your reason for existence is not about you. It's about me. Paul almost here says, in him we what? We live. We move. We breathe. And what?
We are.
We are. Oh, I know the King James said, we have our being. Look, you see, that's the present tense. We are. It's an alloctic case there, which means the location. Where are we? We in Him. We in Christ.
Always.
And Paul here is saying, as long as I'm in Christ, hey, I deal with everything else. You know, because really, we should get to this point. The only thing, that we can't do without is Jesus.
Amen.
Now I know you're not going to fill the house with that and that type of preaching. And you never walk in here and we're telling you anything about how to get out of anything. If you get out of it, because God never decreed that you were in it. But if He decreed that you're in it, you're in it. Because it's about His purpose.
Yeah.
It's not about what I want.
Right.
Take the eye out.
Amen.
Paul said to Him who live, to Him who die.
Amen.
It's all about Him. Yeah, right, sister. Let me call that phrase right here we've been using for years now. Mm-hmm. It's all about Him.
All about
Him. And that's tough. Because we've been taught that we're the center of existence and God is on the periphery somewhere, and depending upon how well we please Him, He feeds stuff into us. Jesus gave us that better example than that in the kingdom gospel in Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
Said, what? Nevertheless, what?
Not my will.
Not about me. Your will. He was that, Jesus is God. He was giving us an example.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is not about you. Your life is about Him.
Mm-hmm.
Our lives are not about what we want. Our lives are about what He has decreed for our lives. But here the bottom line, I've been persuaded. And none of these things should separate me from what? From the love of God. Where's the love of God?
In Christ.
In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, having blessed us, what? Each and every spiritual blessing. Where are they? In the heavenlies. Where are the heavenlies? In Christ. So if you never get that raise on that job, or even if you get fired, you haven't been separated from God.
No way.
No. No way.
Preacher, I need some encouragement. What more encouragement than you would need than being in Christ?
Amen.
Now let's go to our document. Let's go to page 9. I see this type preaching, of course, they try to discredit you by laboring. And some have called our type preaching theosophy, or to break it down, mysticism. This is not mysticism. You know what mysticism is? Mysticism is when you attempt to accredit spirituality to somehow form a physicality. That's why around here we don't use that word supernatural. Natural means the flesh. You don't need to soup up the flesh. That's just another form of physicality. Spirituality lies in the eternal stream of eternality.
Right, right.
And here, for those that are watching, you go to our audio section, and in there next to the icon that we you click on, and you get this document, scripture comprehension of measures, the majors. There's also another icon there. You click it, and I have answered that, and I'm not going to get into that today, maybe some other time. Divergent significations of eternality over temporality. You're into another sphere altogether. Anything that you can touch, taste, physically connect with in any way is not spiritual. It's physical. It's physical. Now, on page 9, that paragraph there where it says distinction, and those that are watching, you can go pull up this document while you're listening or watching. Distinctions in the scriptures actualize and physical secular's functionality of measures the matrix. Ooh, Pastor, that's a lot. Now let's just stop and break it down then. Here we're looking at the differences of what's actualized. What is actualized is spiritual. Let me break it down. This podium is not actualized in me touching it. Or in you seeing it. This podium is a podium because God said it. Because He said it long before it showed up. Here we talk about functionality. Everybody says functionality.
Functionality.
That's what it's designed for.
That's right.
What is the design and purpose of this podium?
Right.
For the ministry to stand behind and administer. It has gone through some processes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do the reverse it.
All right.
This was once a tree. But the tree is not the origination.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can boil a tree and it can all become liquid. Then you put some more intense heat to the tree, which is the podium, and it becomes gas, a vapor. And then if you were able to heat it up some more, it goes to energy. There are only two things in the universe, and that is energy and what? Mass. Or matter, we call it. And so that is the interchange. It goes back to energy. But it doesn't stop there, because you're still in the physical sphere. What is the source of energy? Light. Where does the light come from? God. So he manifested what he has said, but the essence of what it is comes from the saying, not the seeing. By the time you see it, it has gone from light to energy, from energy from energy to gas, from gas to liquid, to from liquid to mass. Now you just seeing it and you think that's what it is. No, it's not.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's the difference between mysticism. Now, I exercise, and this is what the scriptures are for.
Mm-hmm.
It is to settle us down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about God's people now. We're just as nervous as the world.
Yes, we are.
We're just as unsure as the world. We're just as depressed as the world.
Amen. Amen. That's true.
Amen. Mm-hmm. We have as much uncertainty in our minds as they have in theirs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be that way. This is where, Pastor, things are happening, things are happening, things are happening, things are designed to happen.
Yes.
In the world that we're in, as we go through this, it is for purpose. And everything in our lives has a function.
Amen.
According to God's purpose. He put it there for a purpose.
Amen.
His purpose, not yours. Not mine. How things function and why things function. I don't get all caught up in the election this year.
Please.
No. I'm going to clarify this. In fact, we'll make our political statement right now. On that November day, you go to the polls and you vote for whoever God leads you to vote for. Period. We're through. We got to make sure our man gets in. Are you kidding? Your man stays in.
I hear you.
He's been in, he stays in, and nobody can put him out.
Amen.
Are we talking about for president? We can go to Old Testament that. He picks one up, what?
Takes
him down.
Mm-hmm.
Nebuchadnezzar, he looked out over, but he said, man, look at all of this I got, and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
Not too many days after that, he was in the field eating grass,
yeah,
like a wild man.
Eating grass. That's right.
Mm-hmm. get out there and start running their mouth with God and thunk their carcass. Or he might let them just rage for a while.
Right.
But sooner or later, they come down. Now who's going to win? Whoever God has already decreed has already won. Whoever... My man get put out, we go into the pool house. What did we just read? No feeling. Yeah, but I want to eat. Give me 10 minutes. I'm going to just have to bail out this morning. One of these days, y'all... let me come in here and do a preacher thorn. Just, you know, they have choirs, they have singer rambles, we have preacher rambles. About 5 or 6 hours. Look at those looks. I do that for a fix. I know better. All right. Yeah, we're going to bail out here in a few minutes. The physical, are you with me?
Amen.
The physical, secular, soul viewed functionality matrix. That is what you see. It is an arrayed grid stimulating the surrounding substances within which something else purportedly originates, develops, or is contained as the indispensable condition of every form. It's there and looks like it's moving on its own and is set and has its own agenda and purpose, and that's what frightens us, because we said, you know, that's why we wrote the book, Don't Be Afraid of God's Will. Time I was counseling someone and I was talking about God's will, and he said, "Oh, Pastor, don't tell me about God's will because I'm afraid of what God's will might be." Don't you ever be afraid of God's will.
Mm-hmm.
That thing you set there,
mm-hmm.
and God has a purpose for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're saved, you're safe.
That's right. That's right. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we get blessed, we get delivered, and then we forget. We just like the children of Israel. They went through the Red Sea. That's why all that spectacular stuff, it doesn't mean nothing. They got on the other side and they had church of the Red Sea. 3 days later, they got hungry. So you can't count on that. It's about the saying what God has said. If you look at something and it doesn't agree with what God has said, you know what God has said even more than what you see.
Amen. Amen.
Because what God has said is the actuality.
Glory.
And what you're seeing is only manifestation for purpose and testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Let me finish this up here. This flawed conception, are you with me, exhibits formative compartments of matter in which such is embedded. In this sense, all are perceived both massively and principally binding in an array of pneumatic quantities. Pneumatic quantities. Scientism. We look at things based upon what the physicality of it is perceived to be. And these are all subjected, I'm reading again, to humanly induced operations resembling formations of elements in columns and rows. All laid out and say that must be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
These are the means in which such attract as networks of intersections between input output, encoding decoding, stereotype designs to receive either positive or negative impressions of illuminations from which mental plats, which we call mats, are purportedly interpretable. See that illustration there, and for those that are watching, go to the document there. Everybody say matrix map.
Matrix map.
What you see there is for purpose. It is more for purpose than what it seems to be there.
Right.
You lost your job for a reason.
Yes. Amen.
It was no accident.
None.
A person has what we call a mishap. There are no mishaps in God.
None.
There are no accidents in God.
None.
What is an accident? An accident is an unplanned event. There are no unplanned events in God. That thing was decreed and designed for purpose. Paul eventually was executed. Oh yeah, he had his head chopped off by one of the most evil men in history, the Emperor Nero. Why didn't God stop that? No, here's a man he had given a revelation of an entire dispensation, knowledge that he had hid from everyone until he revealed it to him. Why didn't he give him carte blanche? Why was Paul ever sick? Why was Paul ever hungry? Why didn't he make him rich like Abraham? You won't hear this.
No.
You're not going to hear this from the so-called prosperity preachers. They're not talking about Abraham. They're not going to talk about Paul.
Amen.
Did God love Abraham more than he loved Paul?
No.
Be serious. Here's why he came. An entire dispensation of knowledge. That was his.
He is.
Here's the one who he originally gave the comprehension and revelation that in eternity he's called and elected us and placed us in the body of Christ. The information that's in the grace covenant far excels anything that's in the intervals of the covenants. Did he love him? After Paul was taken up, and I'm not going to be able to go any further today. After Paul was taken up, caught up, after being stoned at Lystra, he testified of that sometimes later. He said, I know a man more than 14 years ago. He said, whether I was in the flesh, out of the flesh, I don't know. He said, if I was in the flesh, I didn't know it. If I was out of the flesh, I didn't miss it. But it caught me up to the third heavens. And I saw things that are unalterable. I know the King James says, unlawful. That the Greek word nomos is nowhere in there. That Greek word means untrackable, untraceable. In other words, Paul said, I know what I saw, but human language won't let me convey it. Oh my God.
Hallelujah.
And when he came back, Paul was a different man. He said, not only am I willing to suffer for him, I'm willing to die for him. Oh my God. This thing used to sing a song. He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise. Strong winds may blow. What's the bottom line? And he is sweet, I know. It is the end that counts, not what you're going through. One day, we're going to take off mortality and put on immortality. One day, we're going to be out of time. time and into eternity. One day, the essence of what we really are will really become so evident to us. And so, I'm going where Jesus is. I'm going to be caught up. Can you say caught up? Y'all don't say it like you mean it. I'm going to be caught up to meet him in hell. Oh, I better quit. God bless you. See you next week.